So, I'm thinking of two things with the start of our meditation this retreat. Aware a little bit that this is meant to be for experienced students, and it feels a little bit delicate to assume anything of what that means to be an experienced student. But one is that perhaps you could have a, maybe you have a heightened appreciation of direct experience, of what it's like to be present for what's going on without the filters of a lot of thinking and judgments and projections and expectations and desires. So, ability to be with a simplicity of the experience. And the other is the danger of being a little bit complicated is that you have experience with meditation and with being on retreats. And so maybe there's an inner reference point for being settled in your experience, an inner reference point for a location in your body, even where, or in maybe in your heart or your mind, for what is moved in you, what is inspired in you, what is touched in you when meditation is has gone well for you, or it's been somehow important enough that you've come back to do more. It doesn't mean that you have some great capacity for concentration or stillness, but rather that you there's an intimacy within to what is possible through meditation, the value of resting or being centered on our direct experience. And maybe that reference point within can be a support for you here as you go about the retreat. And I trust that each of you have some way of doing the practice already that's your own. And I feel a little bit, want to be careful not to, that what I offer here this morning is not, doesn't disrupt maybe the way that you already practice. I'm not going to offer instructions that are much different than how we usually do on the beginning of a retreat. But I offer them in the idea that maybe they can build or augment or support what you know already about how to practice, or support the way that you have come to be here on this retreat. So, assuming a meditation posture, that for you is the contains the best combination of alertness and ease, alertness and relaxation. And for people who are sitting upright, it might mean having the spine a little bit more alert than usual. In particular, with the space between your shoulder blades, the spine potential, ever so gently pulled in a little bit. And a lifting up of the back of the neck. A lifting up, kind of like the top of the head is going to touch the ceiling. In such a way that the chin comes down a little bit. And you might also feel a little bit of what's happening in the lower spine, the lower curve of the back. And if it feels overcurved, overarched down there, maybe there's a way of releasing that curve a little bit. In doing so, settling onto the tailbone, and what's above the curve lifts up a little bit more. And in a way that maybe is tender or gentle, a tender and gentle breathing in deeply, maybe 3/4 full inhale, slow, long, deep inhale. As you inhale, feeling the stretching of the rib cage, maybe as the lungs expand, maybe the lifting of the shoulders, maybe the expanding of the belly. And then maybe long, slow, relaxed exhale. Not to the point of strain, but just to release and let go. Maybe some of you, there can be, as you exhale, you can say silent to yourself, ah. Either because maybe it's good to finally sit here like this, or because maybe it doesn't feel so good to sit here, but in the middle of it, just surrendering to here. And letting your breathing return to normal, which, whatever that is that you happen to be breathing. And as you exhale, to go through your body and relax what's easy to relax. Soften the muscles of the face. Around the eyes. Releasing the shoulders a little bit. Softening the belly. And then gathering yourself together around the body's experience of breathing. First day of the retreat, it's often useful to keep it really simple, without ambition about some meditative attainment. The simplicity of being that allows the busyness of life or the concerns of life to begin to settle and relax and recede, letting go. And one way to keep it simple for some of you might be to just trust your breathing for this day. Trust that it's enough just to Rest with your breathing, follow your breathing, receive your breathing, the body breathing. If other things become predominant, it's possible just to breathe with it, stay with the breath, but take in these other things in a simple way. While you breathe with it, or breathe through it. And if your mind still has a lot of concerns from your ordinary life here, thinking a lot today, perhaps rather than struggling with that, perhaps you can be tender towards your mind. A caring compassion. A certain kind of acceptance of the momentum of the mind, all the work the mind is trying to do and try and take care of you or something. And to breathe with your thinking. Breathe anyway, even if you think. And that breathing with might protect you from wandering off too far into your thoughts without needing to struggle against them. And as you're breathing, with the exhale, is there any point in the exhale where it feels more like there's a release? Appreciate the release, the letting go. Any point where it's happening in the exhale. And in the inhale, is there any point in the inhale where there's some clear feeling sense of allowing the inhale to occur. And feeling the rhythm of releasing and allowing. Releasing with the exhale and allowing, receiving on the inhale. And with the releasing of the exhale, maybe there can be a reminder to release what's going on in the mind, the thinking. With the allowing and receiving of the inhale, maybe an opening of the mind to be receptive, open. Quiet to the experience of the moment. If on this first day of practice, there are a lot of thoughts or a lot of feelings, emotions, or a lot of discomfort in the body, perhaps part of the time you can turn it all over back into the breath, into breathing. Let the breathing compost it all. Give it over to the breathing and let the breathing take care of it. Trust it to your breathing, whatever it might be. And then the end of a meditation is as important as the middle or the beginning. When you hear the bell ring, if it's important how you are mindful next, how would you continue your mindfulness when you hear the bell ring? Thank you all very much. In a few minutes, Inez will do some instructions on walking meditation. A few words first. Whatever happens on a first day of a retreat, it's fairly common that it's not what was expected, is expected. Even so, you might view it as, and you might even label it as such, as, oh, it's a first day of the retreat experience. That's all it is. Okay, that's what it is. The first day, if you're more tired than usual, your body aches more than usual, your mind is more crazy than usual, your emotions are more variable than usual or something. Oh, okay. It's just the first day of the retreat experience. You don't need to make any other conclusions, any big meaning out of it. Oh, okay. This is how it is. And then the art of kind of just not rejecting anything, not feeling you need to necessarily be different, but keep turning it back into your body or turn it back into your breathing. Maybe another way of saying that is just feel how it's experienced in your body. Feel how it is to breathe with it or breathe through it, or for the breathing to hold it and be with it. And in saying those things, I'm trying to encourage the idea of simplicity, to just be simple in the first day, and a simplicity of continuity, simplicity of just staying simply in the practice, so that kind of like things can just settle around your practice, settle around your breathing, settle around your walking meditation, however it is. Keeping it simple. And then there's a kind of a practice or orientation that I find quite useful. And if you haven't heard this, maybe it'd be nice to try it. That as you go along in the retreat and are doing things around your home or whatever you have to do that's not maybe sitting and walking meditation, see if it's appropriate, do it at the speed of mindfulness. And what I mean by the speed of mindfulness, do it at the speed that where it's easiest to stay mindful, stay aware that you're aware, stay in the flow of the present moment with your awareness. Sometimes if we do things too fast, that it's all too easy for our thinking to kind of sneak in, and we're not that mindful. We're just thinking and going about our activities like we would usually. And sometimes if we slow down, it's just a little bit slower than what we usually do for our activities. You're more likely to stay close to the place where you know what's happening as you're doing it. So the speed of mindfulness. So thank you, and I hope you enjoy this day, and then Inez will talk a little bit about walking.
Good morning. One of the things that took me a while to learn is that walking meditation can be as significant form of meditation as sitting meditation. I didn't really quite believe it when I heard it, and it took a while to penetrate. Some people take to it right away and they find it quite satisfying, even easier to settle in. But for others, like myself, appreciation of it can take time to develop. When I first started, it felt like an unwanted interruption from my sitting. So I did appreciate moving around a little bit. Took me a while to reorient myself and really get that the same mind that gets caught by clinging while sitting on the cushion is actually the same exact mind that gets caught by clinging in walking meditation. And that, yes, the same five hindrances show up. And that the object of meditation doesn't matter as much as letting go of clinging does. So after a lot of resistance to it, I was really surprised how much walking meditation really wholeheartedly strengthened my concentration. It was actually a major turning point in my retreats when I really deeply, wholeheartedly took it on. So for some basic instruction, we usually do formal walking meditation using a path about 20 to 30 feet long, walking back and forth. When we come to the end of the path, we come to a mindful stop, turn around, stop again, and start again. The stopping at the end is really a time that lets us notice whether we've lost our attention. It's a little bit like when we count breaths, you know, we, you know, oops, 13, 14. That stopping at the end, it's a really good time to really show up in your body. You know, are you fully here? Yes. When I finally dedicate myself to doing it, what I would say to myself, okay, I can be mindful for these next 20 steps. That seemed really doable, those 20 steps. It helped me show up in that same way that when I first started sitting, I used counting. But with an online retreat, some of you may not have the ideal place to do walking meditation the way you might at a residential retreat. But it's quite doable, even in very small spaces. On one retreat, I did in a living room, and it wasn't that big of a living room. And so what I did was I walked in a circle. But the disadvantage of walking in a circle is there's no natural stops to catch your attention. So what I did is I placed a Buddha at the head of the circle. And every time I would reach the Buddha, I would bow. So that was my moment of staying really present, of making sure I was accountable for really showing up. So we can do walking meditation at any speed. What's really important is to have a sense of ease. For a long time, I felt I had to do it really, really slowly. And it hurt my back so bad that I could not get into it. And so when I really learned that I could do it at the speed that worked for me, and it wasn't doing it less than, it was really helpful. So allow the hands to be wherever they're comfortable. Some people interlace them in the front or in the back, or just hanging. It's helpful for the eyes to softly gaze downwards without focusing on anything in particular. It can be helpful to concentration and mindfulness to go on the slow side at times. But again, much more important is a sense of ease. Fast walking sometimes can really help when if your mind's agitated. Or if you're really sleepy, it's a wonderful thing to do. But if the mind is, it's calm and alert, slow walking may feel more natural. Maybe an easy stroll, the pace of a stroll, or even slower. What I often call the zombie walk, which is when we did really, really slow. Sometimes it's helpful to vary the speed. One of my teachers, he suggested that we start fast. We break it up into three parts. We do the first 15 minutes fast, the next 15 minutes kind of at a medium speed, and then right before we go sit again, we go really slow. And I played with that for a while, and for a while that was really kind of helpful, and it helped me find my own sensitivity to it. What's really important, though, is both being at ease and staying intimate with our bodies as we walk. The basic instruction is to first connect with the body just standing there. Allow the attention to settle in the feet and lower legs, and then feel the sensations of walking with each step. If it's helpful, if you're walking on the fast side, you can use a quiet mental label as you walk. Stepping, stepping. This can help the mind not wander off as much, but still keeping the attention intimate with your feet, with walking, with your body. If you're walking a bit more slowly, you can use the labels such as lifting, lacing, lifting, lacing. Or for very slow walking, we commonly use the label lifting, moving, placing. But see what works for you, what's useful for you. It's good to dedicate your attention to the sensations of walking and let go of everything else. If strong emotions or thoughts arise and become compelling, it's often helpful to stop walking and attend to them. When they're no longer compelling, then you return to the walking, just like you do in sitting meditation. So for those of you who are already delighted with walking meditation, please enjoy your walking. For those of you who would like to find delight in walking meditation, enjoy your walking. So thank you.